Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, to whom all blessings flow. Welcome to this place of restoration.
Nehemiah 8:10, and it reads,
Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. This scripture in particular is referenced after Nehemiah had helped to restore the walls of Jerusalem. When he returned to Jerusalem, not only did he find the walls broken down, but he found the people living there broken as well. And when I think about how the state of mind that he found the people in when he went there, a lot of times I relate it, I think back to how we are and how with different situations in our life and with different things that we go through, we too can be broken.
Yes.
We can be broken because of financial hardship. We may lose hope. We can be broken because maybe we've been sick a long time and we just feel that nothing is going to help and that we're not going to get well. There are a lot of different reasons why each of us may at one time in our life feel broken.
Mm-hmm.
In response to the people being broken and what he saw, he gathered the people together to hear Ezra read God's law. Now, Ezra was a religious leader. He was a priest and a scribe. In the beginning of chapter 8, in Nehemiah, in verse 2 in particular, it speaks to how Ezra was brought before the congregation, men and women alike, and all who could hear with understanding. And the Bible goes on to say that all of the ears of the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And when I read that, it made me think how Nehemiah, first of all, found the state of the people. He found that the walls were broken, but he found that the people were broken. And it made me think how in our lives, a lot of times, when we're in a state of brokenness, that's when we can really hear from the Lord.
Yes, yes.
Because at that particular time, it's like you're at a point of complete surrenderance. You're at a point in your life where you're saying, you know what, God, I need to hear from you.
Yes.
A lot of times we're busy doing our own thing, trying to fix things ourselves. But when you get into that state of brokenness, mm-hmm. when the Lord has just totally broken you down and where there is just no more pride left, mm-hmm. where you don't care what is going on, I need to hear from you.
Yes.
And that's when we can come to the Lord and we can say, God, I need you. I need to hear a word from you. I need a rhema word from you. I need something revelatory, God, that you can give me that is going to take me not just through the day, but through the week,
yes.
until I can get back in a place of worship all over again.
Amen.
I remember being pregnant with Jasmine, and when I was getting ready to deliver, and, you know, you have a sense of pride as a woman, you know, you know, you don't just want everything, you know. And so the doctors would come in, and as the labor pains were coming and the contractions, I didn't care who saw what. I was like, do what you got to do. All pride is gone. But that's how we are when we come to the Lord. When we're in our place of brokenness, we come to the Lord. God, I don't care. I surrender all. I will lay at your feet. I will not eat. I will not drink. Whatever you want me to do, God, I need to hear a word from you. Hallelujah. And it's like that when we first get saved. We're attentive. When we first get saved, I remember when I first got saved, I just wanted more and more and more and more of the Lord. I just wanted to hear what the word was, what God was using the men of God to pour into my life, what my grandmother had to say, what this one had to say. My enthusiasm was up there. I mean, and it's just like a newborn babe. When you're in Christ, you know, you want more and you want more, just like a child. When a child is born, he wants to be fed. You know, he wants that nurturing from his mother. You know, I mean, children know naturally, and your body reacts instinctively when your children want, when they're babies,
yeah.
and the milk just fills shows up naturally, you know it's feeding time. The baby doesn't have to say anything, you know it. And it's just like us when we cry out to the Lord. He knows what's going on. He knew it before it even happened. But we have to get in a place of complete surrenderance to Him so that He can move us to where He wants us to be. But it's like when you were, you know, your excitement is off the roof when you first get saved. I remember when I was a little girl and I would be in church all day long with my grandmother. And when my grandmother was in the kitchen in the evening, I would take her tambourine and I would take her Bible and her Sunday school book. And I would get in front of nobody because I was an only child growing up. But I played church. I mean, I had church. I was standing there and I beat my tambourine, beat her tambourine, which was too big for me to beat. But I was beating and I was having church. I was excited. I was excited about going to church and learning more. But something happens. Something happens to us after a while. It may not happen to everyone, but I know it surely happened to me. Life circumstances and the loss of the past and even selfishness, they tend to weigh in. And before you know it, you're in a state of brokenness. Yeah. If you're not careful, if you don't listen attentively like the people were listening to Ezra, if you don't listen attentively to the word of God, you can find yourself in a state of brokenness. But what happened to them? Their brokenness made them open. And that's what God is doing in some of our lives. I know we don't understand why it happens the way that it does. We don't understand, you know, well, God, why did I have to go through this in order to get here? We don't understand that. We don't understand why certain things just come and they seem to knock us off of our feet and take all of the wind out of our sails. Yeah. We don't understand that.
Amen.
But our brokenness makes us open to the voice of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. See, a lot of times when we're saved at such an early age, especially, and we've been in church all of our lives, we hear the words of coming from the Bible so often that we have become dull to its word and almost immune to its teaching. And so what do I mean by that? What I mean is that sometimes experiencing the hardships that we have had to face, the infirmities and financial hardships, etc., we have become hardened due to circumstances of life. And not only hear the word, but not even listen attentively. And see, what happens is, you know, we can hear the word of God, but there's a difference when you're listening intentively. When you hear the word, you may hear me talking, but if your mind's not focused in and you're not listening, then you're going to miss something because you're not listening attentively. It's almost like, you know, the Charlie Brown commercials, the Charlie Brown cartoons, the children can relate to this. You know, the teacher is talking, and I think it's Linus, he's in the room, and all he hears is womp, 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 womp. That's all he hears because he's just hearing the teacher. But when he's listening attentively, then he's learning and he's growing and he's moving on. So what we have to do is we have to wrap our arms around listening to the word attentively. Have you ever noticed that when you really listen to the word of God, that's when your life is changed?
Yes.
Your life is changed. Yes. Hallelujah. And as with the people, when they were listening to Ezra, when he was reading the words of the law, the people wept because they were listening attentively and they realized how far they had come from obeying the law. So when you're listening attentively to God, when He's speaking through His Word, when you're reading or audibly, when someone's preaching or speaking or teaching, or maybe you're listening to a televangelist, when you're listening to the Word of God attentively, and the television isn't just on for noise, but when you're listening and really letting that Word seep down deep into your spirit, that's when your life can be changed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The people repented and their lives were changed, and they promised They promised at that time to obey God's word. Ezra tells them that they should be filled with joy because the day was holy. It was a time to celebrate and give their gifts to those in need. Ezra took the concept and he connected celebration with giving. Have you ever given to someone that was in need? Have you ever seen the look that was on their face because you listened to the voice of the Lord and you obeyed him?
Yes.
And you did what he told you to do?
Yes.
When you see that smile on that face, it creates a joy deep down on the inside of your soul.
Yes.
Because now you can not only celebrate yourself because of the joy that's your strength, but you can celebrate with them because now you're being a blessing in their life.
Amen.
Our giving and our celebration in this case should not be self-centered. Oftentimes when we give to others, we are strengthened spiritually and filled with joy.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
When we speak of the joy of the Lord being our strength, it is related to rejoicing in God in the manner prescribed in his word, serving him with cheerfulness and thankfulness. And when we do this, even during the times that we may feel is our darkest hour, he will give you strength. He will give you strength in your mind. He'll give you strength in your body. Hallelujah. To be able to perform all of the required duties that he has purposed in your life to perform. He will give you a joy that is your, when the joy of the Lord is your strength, he will give you strength to face the adversary. He will give you a strength that is designed to oppose all of the malicious designs of the enemy against you. Therefore, the joy of the Lord will help you to ward off the malicious attacks and devices of the enemy set up to weaken and dampen your spirit, your mind, and your body that make you unfit for God's service. I was listening to someone that I was talking to on the phone, and they were telling me how they're normally very jubilant and they're normally very strong, and they were telling me how, you know, their body was just being attacked with one thing after the other physically, and that they were being weakened in their body, and, you know, and they asked, you know, it was a time of prayer, and normally they would pray, but they asked me to pray, and I always love to pray, that's no problem, but I realized that it was a spirit that is being attached to this person.
Yeah, yeah.
I realized that the sickness and the infirmity that we go through sometimes is nothing but a spirit that is trying to get you off track and get you off center and get you off focus of the things that you really should be doing. I remember a time in my life where I was really sick. And I was in the hospital. I went in 1 year, and then the same time the next year, my body got attacked with the same thing, Brett. And then I had to go to the hospital again the next year. And then the next year came, and around that same time of year, my body became weakened. My immune system was weakened, Nikki. And then I had to go into the hospital again that next year. And I said to myself, you know what, God, I'm sick of being sick.
Yes.
I'm sick and tired of being sick. So this has got to stop.
Yes.
So I had to take charge over my life with the word of God.
Yes.
And then I had to repeat to myself that I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord.
Yes.
I had to repeat all of the healing scriptures.
Yes.
I had to repeat healing declarations. And I had to declare and decree over my body that next year I was not going into the hospital.
Yes.
Because I realized that it was a demonic attack from the enemy.
Yes.
When something like that keeps happening to you over and over and over again, and when you get when you wake up with anxiety one morning at 3 o'clock in the morning, Pastor was sharing with us the testimony that he had with Sister Jan, and how she would wake up one morning at 3 a.m. and she had an anxiety attack, and then he prayed over her, and then the next morning at 3 a.m. while she was sleeping, she had another anxiety attack. And he prayed over her again. And then the next day it happened again. And he said to himself, wait a minute. This isn't just an anxiety attack. This is an attack of the enemy on my wife. So you know what, devil? I'm going to serve no you will not attack her body again. Yes. And he had to decree and he had to declare over her body what he wanted to see happen, yes, through the grace of God.
Amen.
So that's what I'm saying. A lot of times we have to declare and decree. We can't sit back and accept what God, what the enemy is trying to attack us with. But we have to declare and decree over that thing, and we have to take charge. God created us to take dominion. He created us to subdue and replenish the earth, to be fruitful, to multiply. Well, now we have to take dominion. We have to get in a place in ministry. We have to get in a place in our lives where we are taking dominion over those attacks of the enemy. We can't allow the enemy to take full control, but we can take control over the enemy with the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord God. That is why it's important to have the joy of the Lord on the inside. And how do we do that? We're going to turn to John, St. John 15 and 7. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. St. John 15 and verse 7, it reads, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you."
Amen.
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 Jesus said that if we abide in him, we will experience God's will for our lives and everything Jesus has for our lives. When we abide in Jesus, it means that we make him number one.
Yes. Yes.
The most important person in our lives. When we do this, we make everything revolve around him and not him revolve around everything else.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Reading in verse 8, if you would go there with me. "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. And verse 11 in particular expresses the state in which he was spoken to them, speaking to the people, and the loving and being loved of God. It supplies satisfaction when you know that you are loved by God.
Amen.
For all of the deepest desires and being able to overcome by the capabilities, your whole man is fulfilled when you know of the love of God. And the result of the love of God that he has for you is the fullness of joy. Joy comes from consistent relationship with Christ. When our lives are intertwined with his, he will help us walk through adversity without sinking into extreme lows, and he will manage prosperity without moving into deceptive highs.
Hallelujah.
I love that. Glory to God. Because a lot of times when we get into that prosperity state, we have to be careful. We have to be careful that we don't allow the enemy to deceive us.
Mm-hmm.
So he will carry us through. The joy that comes from his strength will carry us through not only the despairing times, not only the adversity times, not only when we feel like we're sinking and with extreme lows, but it will also strengthen us and carry us through to manage prosperity.
Amen.
Without moving into deceptive highs.
Hallelujah.
The joy of living with Jesus Christ day by day will keep us balanced and it will keep us level-headed. This is when we will hear and this is when we will receive from the Lord. It's during this time when our joy is strengthened by the Lord. It's during these types of times that we will bear fruit of a godly life. And God's true joy is released in us. When we are focused on Jesus, we are paying attention to him and not our problems and our circumstances. It will give you a peace in the midst of a storm. Vicky Yohe, she sings the song, "I'm at Peace." And it talks about, even though my heart is breaking, he died for me on Calvary, and now I can see that my storm has moved away.
Hallelujah, yeah.
Hallelujah. When you focus on Jesus and what he says about your circumstances, it will ease the pain and restore your joy. One day, just sit back and take a self-assessment. Sit back and take a self-examination, and I dare you to just think about all of the things that God has done for you. There's no way that that joy can be restored in you when you start thinking about what God has done, about where he has brought you from. When you start thinking about one thing, you're saying, okay, you know what, God, I do praise you. But then you start thinking about two and three and four and how he brought you from, how he moved you over from one level to the next. When you start thinking about all of those things that happened in your past and how you didn't know how you were going to make it, and you didn't see your way through, you didn't know where your provision was going to be, and you didn't know how you were going to get out of that circumstance that was keeping you bound. But when you think about that, and the song says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my very soul cries out, hallelujah, I thank God for saving me. I thank God for his keeping power on today. I thank God for how he's made a way of provision. I thank God for how he has stretched the things that I've already had because I didn't have any more at the time. I thank God how he has made a way. You go and put a different jacket on and you find a $5 bill in there and you say, God, I thank you because now I can get to work. Hallelujah. I thank God for the ways that he has made, his healing power and his deliverance over me. I thank him and I praise him, and I don't have to make a long, long, long list. I thank him for the grace that he gave me when I woke up this morning. I thank him for how he kept me in a sound mind. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's so many people walking around with an estranged mind. They don't know where they are. They don't know who they are. They don't know whose they are. Hallelujah. But I thank God that I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah. I know who my daddy is. Glory to God. I know who my Abba Father is, Nikki. I know how much he loves me. I can't be down. I can't be downtrodden. I can't give up now because he loves me too much. He trusts me with the purpose that he's destined for my life. So I can't give up. Hallelujah. But I have to go on. I have to know that the joy of the Lord is my strength. When I serve him with cheerfulness, when I serve him with thankfulness, I know that I am strengthened in him and I can go to my destiny. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I thank God. Hallelujah, Jesus. When you focus on Jesus and what he says about your circumstances, it's going to ease your pain. It's going to restore your joy. Hallelujah. When you think of him and all that he has done and where he has brought you from, it gives you renewed strength. When you focus on Jesus, you don't live in survival mode. Hallelujah. And survival mode is just taking it one step at a time, taking it one day at a time. You know, I'm just making it. Oh, God, how I'm going to fix it. If you don't fix it, God, I'm going to do it. No, we can't live in survival mode. Glory to God. We can't take these things upon ourselves and think that we're going to fix it without the help of God. Hallelujah. But what we have to do is we have to trust in him, Lisa. We have to trust that he's going to provide the way. We have to trust that he's going to provide the answer. We have to listen attentively to his word, and we know that if we listen attentively to his word, then we're going to grow and we're going to be strengthened in the word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have to live in the now, in the sense of we have to enjoy life now. Our circumstances may not be the way that we want them to be right now, but we can't always live in the when. I can't continue to say that when Pastor and I go on vacation, that's when we're going to relax and that's when I'm going to enjoy his company. I can't wait till I go on vacation to enjoy his company. Vacation may not come. Amen. Something may happen and we may not be able to go on vacation. But I have to live my joyful life now. I have to rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. I have to rejoice in the Lord always. I have to be fixing the problem.
Yes.
You're not worrying about what you see in front of you. But if you enjoy the blessings of the Lord now, then as you enjoy the blessings of the Lord now and trust in Him and for His strength, then
yes.
He can move you to the next level
yes.
that He has destined
Amen.
For you to be.
Amen.
Because, see, if you can be happy where you are and if you can have the joy of the Lord where you are right now, then He can trust you with more.
Yes.
If I don't clean the apartment that I'm in right now, then how is He going to trust me with a 6-bedroom house?
Yes.
How is He going to do it? So I have to be happy and I have to do the things that are required of me to do now so that I can be blessed with the things that He promised later on. Hallelujah. Because, see, maybe sometimes things haven't happened because we're not ready for them.
Yes, yes.
We might not be ready for the 6-bedroom house right now. There may be things that God wants to do within us before we move to that level.
Yes.
But we have to be happy and we have to have the joy of the Lord and know that He is our strength
Amen.
Now,
Amen.
Where we are right now.
Yes.
So that when He blesses
yes.
us with the promise, because He shall do it,
yes.
because He promised that He
yes.
will do it,
yes.
when that time and that season is here, and I believe that it's here,
yes.
hallelujah,
yes.
I believe that it is
yes.
here, we're ready for
Amen.
It. Hallelujah,
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to His name.
Hallelujah.
Okay, so Pastor did a me today. Amen. 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 Have you ever noticed how God moves when you're focused on Him?
Yes.
Doing and involving yourself in what
yes.
He wants you to do
yes.
and not how you want to do it? We have to stop talking the talk and we have to walk the walk.
Amen.
We have to do what God has prepared for us to do. Hallelujah. And we have to focus all of our attention on Him.
Yes.
When we focus all of our attention on Him, then we're not worried about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
All of our attention is on Him. And if you notice, a lot of times when you're busy doing what God has destined for you to do,
mm-hmm.
things start to change
yes.
on your behalf.
Yes. Yes.
Things start to change for the better.
Yes.
And your joy is made full and it is overflowing.
Yes.
When this usually happens, God gives you more because He can trust you with more.
Yes.
He knows that you are ready to receive what He has for you in this season.
Amen.
So what we have to do is we have to make a decision every day to enjoy our life.
Yes.
We have to remember the love of God that He has for us and how He sent His only begotten Son for us. We have to remember that if we abide in Him, then He will abide in us. That as you abide in Him, He will abide in you.
Yes, yes, yes.
Change comes when you're abiding in Him and living with the joy of the Lord. It is this joy that gives you strength to face your problems. It is this joy that gives you strength to deal with anything that may come your way. It is this joy that will let you live the life that God has promised you to live. We went through something this week, and Pastor started to testify about it. We went through something this week that I've been through before, but Pastor's been through it before as well. But it's like when you're counting on a source, and the source doesn't come through. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you've got all of these things mapped out. You know, you've got your plan in place.
Yes.
And the enemy says, I'm going to see how you're going to react when I take this source away from you. It's sort of like with Job, and he said, yeah, he's serving you now, but, you know, he's got a hedge around him. So why don't you, you know, remove the hedge and let's see how he'll serve you then. Let's see if he'll, you know, give you that yes praise then.
Yeah.
So we kind of had like a Job experience. The hedge was kind of taken from around us. Hallelujah. And Pastor said, you know, at first when he was standing here, he said that, you know, it took him a moment to get himself together. And that's what happens. When you don't expect it and then it happens to you, it kind of takes the wind out of your sail and it kind of knocks you off of your feet.
Yes.
But we have to remember that that one thing was a source. It was, but it wasn't even a source. It was a resource.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And we have to remember who our ultimate source
yes.
is.
Yes.
And our ultimate source is God, our Father.
Yes.
So God, so John, our pastor, I'm calling John. So pastor had to remember who his source was. something happens with James, James will go to Corbin and he'll say, you know, Dad, what happened? I don't understand. Why did this child say that to me? Why did that kid get mad at me? What happened? You know, why did they take that away from me? And Corbin will say, well, you know what, son? Don't worry about it. It'll be okay. And that's what our Abba Father does to us. And that he loves us so much that he says, don't worry about it, child. It'll be okay.
You are encouraged by God's Word and will tune in next time to this station for our Sunday service at Restoration Christian Ministries. Stay encouraged and have a blessed week.